You're listening to Movie Sucktastic.
Sounds like some bad movie.
This was definitely one of those.
Definitely
one of those.
Give it all you gotta give, yeah.
Oh my lord.
Welcome to Movie Sucktastic.
Oh, where'd your feed go?
I'm Scott, that's Joey. Hey. I'm Scott, that's Joey.
Howdy.
And today we're reviewing Fatal Games. Fatal Games, emphasis on the, I guess, games instead of the fatal.
Right. Le jeu de la morte.
Yes, also known as The Killing Touch or Olympic Nightmare.
I was surprised to see, the title, at least yes. The copy I watched, it said Fatal Games, and above that it said Le jeu de la morte.
Me too. Yeah, that seems to be one of the two. I looked for that's the Blu-ray copy that I found. So I guess that was the best copy they were able to get a hold of.
Mm. I guess so.
That's my guess.
I don't know. A little wacky.
Yeah. So Fatal Games, for anybody that doesn't know, is a 1984 slasher film in the long-running tradition of Jason, Freddy, and Michael Myers. In the film, a group of wannabe Olympic athletes is hunted down and killed one by one by a person with a javelin.
Correct. They're running around after them, and it is an interesting way to do it. I guess, you know, with the popularity of films like Sleepaway Camp and because it's a slasher movie.
It's compared a lot to Graduation Day because of some similarities in the filming.
Yeah,
as I well. Mean,
they had the gratuitous the girl shower scene.
Right. So on top of all that other stuff, they decided to capitalize on the America's growing fascination with the Olympics. Remember Mary Lou Retton?
That's right, because this film came out in 1984. That was the year that she won gold.
Mm-hmm.
And when did it come out?
January, I believe.
Ooh, I don't think it was. Hold on. I have it up on the screen right here. Let me just find it real quick.
I might be thinking of something else.
You know what? Yes, you're right. January. Well, hold on a second. It said the TV premiere was January 1987. But in the United States, it said 1984, but there's no month attached to it. I'm assuming that this came out before the Summer Olympics. Let me see if the wiki page has anything.
Uh-oh.
Wow, it really doesn't have anything about when it was released. It's interesting.
Interesting, yes.
Yeah.
Now, the name of it, Falcon Academy, Go Falcons. And then you have our seven... top athletes who have all qualified to go to the Nationals.
That's right.
Now, can you name them off the top of your head?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
Because I don't
I had to make a list. Dude, I watched this film three times for the show.
Why would you do that?
Well, the first time I fell asleep halfway through, and that's hardly my fault.
Listen, this movie really...
yes?
If, you know how you used to do edits to make films shorter? Remember you used to do that?
Yeah.
You could do that for this. I guarantee you this is like a 30-minute movie. Max.
Oh, I'll go one further. It's not even that the film is too long. It's that the interconnecting pieces don't affect each other in any way.
No.
There are multiple... First of all, let's talk about the quality of the film, because I want to get that out of the way. It's not bad quality.
Student
it's kind of...
film quality. Guerrilla filmmaking. As far as the quality goes, just reminds me something you would have seen in maybe the early 70s. Like, it's that kind... It's almost like... the type of quality is almost like when they would do a PSA type video. It's like, don't use steroids, you know, and it like the ones we would watch in school, you know, it kind of quality grain, like everything looks just like that.
It's either low end made for TV or high end porno for that time period.
You could definitely see that this could have been a porn.
I think the filmmakers are competent. I think the major flaws rest in the screenwriters.
Well, this is
no. I mean, there were some interesting camera angles. They did the underwater camera work.
The first javelin kill, I actually thought was pretty neat.
Yeah, they had pulled that up well. It's probably one of the best kills.
I mean, to be honest, the rest of them were really bad compared to that one.
I mean that first one, they really set the bar high with the first javelin kill. Can you name the person who died first?
No.
All right, so here my basic point is that the writers are okay as far as building characters. Like, the banter between them wasn't that bad,
right?
You know what I mean? At least on second viewing, the banter wasn't that bad. The dialogue, the acting, all right, maybe we're dealing with mid-range porn. The acting wasn't great. But the problem with the screen editing is they spent all this time and energy to give us all this stuff in between the kills, but none of it connects to the kills.
No, I know.
At all. I mean,
stuff was not, like, when, here's an example. So when she's talking about when they're doing the time, right? And she's like, well, 3 seconds off of that, you beat the world record. And then she does it again. And then again. It's like, why do we have to watch this?
Well, we're padding, obviously. I would take more of that.
But then also the one guy with the weird face and the javelin thing. Like, he had a weird face. I mean, there was something wrong, like, weird about it. It was like... too small for the size of his head, like the way his eyes, nose, and mouth kind of, it's like if I drew it, you know, and not being a good artist, like, that's, I feel bad. I'm sure he's a nice person.
Okay, so the character you're talking about is Joe Ward, played by Nicholas Love. That's the actor you're talking about there. I mean, just want to underline that.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of make you think he's the killer because he has anger issues. But
then they kill him off third, I believe.
Oh, they do.
He's the third kill.
What they're trying to do is they're trying to say, oh, maybe he's the guy because, you know, the way he acts. And, you know, that was obviously thrown out pretty quick because he gets killed.
I mean, it's funny you bring him up because he's like one of the few that doesn't have a complicated backstory. He's just a grumpy bitch. Right. That's it. But like you've got, the other one that doesn't really have anything.
He looks like he would have done 70s porn. Like, he'd be like the weird guy. It's like, yeah.
But you've got the whole story with Frank breaking his leg and his relationship, and then Phil and Annie's relationship. Phil constantly hitting on Annie. Annie has the problems with her grades that might get her kicked out of gymnastics, so that's a concern. That's a whole storyline that has no bearing whatsoever on the killings.
Right.
Then, I mean, even when they have the nurse and the one coach go out for drinks at the bar, nothing they do really sets them up in any way as, like, protagonists or antagonists, you know? Nothing there indicates that they're going to be the killer. Nothing gives any overtones of, oh, here's a suspect. No, we're just telling more stories in between. Even the lesbian love affair between Coach Drew and Shelley.
Right.
Not only does it have no bearing on anything else in the film, Shelley's not even one of the seven that are being targeted.
No. And there's no sex scene either, so why bother?
Yeah, there's no kissing either. Apparently, the actress that plays Shelley, when she came back to do the actual shoot, she had become a born-again Christian, and she's like, I can't kiss another woman on the lips. So that's why, so if you notice that scene, she keeps kissing her forehead in that scene.
Oh.
I was like, God damn it!
Got it. You know who and it was a nanosecond they were in it. They were just riding a bicycle or like just an exercise bike. And it's the one friend from Once Bitten. You know how Jim Carrey had his two friends in Once Bitten? Okay, so there's this, he was the one where he brought.
He brought
a rubber glove. It's like, because he asked him, do you have protection? And he pulls out like a rubber glove. And he goes, what are you going to do?
I remember that.
Friends? Like, he's just sitting on an exercise bike. And I'm like, that's that guy.
Oh, the guy on the exercise bike?
On the exercise bike, yeah.
Okay, I remember that guy.
Obviously, Once Bitten came out a year later. So mm-hmm. I was like, all right, he's probably just taking any job he can. I was just, wow, that's that guy.
Here, I'll go one step further for you as far as parts of the film that have no bearing whatsoever on the film itself. The twist ending.
Oh, I know.
If you take that twist ending out, the film still makes 100% same amount of sense as it does now. I almost said makes sense. It's like, no, let's back that up a bit.
Let's get it correct.
Removing that. Change your voice so she's not doing what's her name from Theranos, Elizabeth Holmes. She starts talking like Elizabeth Holmes. I can't stop it, Carl. You know, Annie, come to me, Annie. But they'd have a brief glimpse. Where, oh, look, she carries around a copy of the newspaper that outed her as a.
Yeah, when I saw that, I'm like, A. What are you doing with it? B, how come it looks like it was just ran off the press today? It's just, you would think it would be a little beat up.
And there is zero foreshadowing of this in the film. Zero. Even though they have the lengthy scene with Diane, it's like, oh, my mother, she could have been. Nothing she says makes you think, oh, and she's got to be a guy, too. No, nothing, because everything she said could have just been, oh, she just could have been a woman who couldn't live up to the ideals of her mother, and she went insane. That would have made much more sense.
No, because, I know what you're saying, but, yeah, they had to do that because the program is shooting them up with steroids and hormones to try and make them better athletes. And then it's like, Germany and Russia is doing it, so we're going to do it too. It's like, Jesus Christ.
But that's another one. They could have used the steroids angle. They could have had a discussion. So, you know, I'm worried about increasing anger in psychotic episodes with these. No, they don't even do that. Yeah. The guy's just like, yeah, I've been taking the steroids and I feel great.
I feel move so along. Much stronger.
No. They set it up like it's going to be mean something. It doesn't mean jack shit. It never, nothing in this film knows that there's a javelin killer elsewhere in the film.
No one else knows. Them and then hiding the bodies, and they're like, oh, they're all stressed. They're not showing up for practice. It's just too much. It's like, have you seen so and so? It's like, no, she's not coming to practice. Okay.
The third time I watched this film is because I had to get the goddamn name straight. And I'll tell you, when you pay attention to this film, Frank's name's never even mentioned until the third act. I had to figure him out by process of elimination.
Well,
that was a dog bark. Sorry.
Yes, it was.
I only knew Nancy's name going into the film because she dies first. So everybody spends the rest of the film asking, where's Nancy? Where's Nancy? Where's Nancy? Sue's name is only mentioned once before she bites it and they start asking where she is.
Jeez.
I
didn't notice any of this. I'm just watching and I'm like, I can't believe I'm watching this. This is terrible.
Yeah, I mean, but there is so much going on with the characters that if you have to talk about them, you have to know their names, but they don't even give their names most of the time. Not good screenwriting. I gotta love my favorite part of the whole movie is when they bring out the table. Well, everybody's exercising in the gymnasiums. Okay, bring out the table. let's put that one pointy statue in the middle of the table.
On the trophy.
then static shot, roll in the scaffolding, set up the scaffolding. It's like, this won't come up later.
Just look away. Nothing to see here. Definitely will not be coming up later.
What makes it better is no one even mentions it. No one even says, like, hey, you're going to set that up for tomorrow or anything. They just, it's just like silence as this happens. Like, we're setting up for the end of the movie. You all know what's happening. Just give us some time. It's just the weirdest part of the film. Even weirder than a javelin thrower underwater.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I would have used for the YouTube cover, but it's too dark. You can't really see it. I didn't like it.
No, I get that. Definitely, I get that.
Yeah. Oh, there's a nice shot, though.
Little, like the Mexican guy with the guitar, and he just looks like the statue that they put out in front of every restaurant.
I don't know why I took that picture, but I just felt like it represented the film in some way.
As soon as I saw it, I'm like, oh, he's like the statue that they put out in front of all these different restaurants.
If you look at it, they go out of the way to have an entire surprise birthday party for Annie, and we even know about it beforehand. And they foreshadow the birthday party, surprise party, more than they foreshadow who the killer is.
Right. You don't find out who the killer is, what, in the last 10 minutes of the movie?
Well, what I mean is, like, nothing indicates it. There are no hints. There's nothing. They don't even make any false hints. Like, maybe it's this guy.
The doctor saying someone got in here and only the four of us have keys. That's it.
Right.
That is
it. And the closest you got to a character that acted like he was capable of doing it was the javelin throwing guy with chip on his shoulder.
Right. I said, yeah, they were showing he was angry. He's like, you know, they just kind of tried to make you think that it was him for a little bit in the first act, and then they kill him.
And yeah,
like, oh, funny face guy is not the guy. Oh no!
Yeah, I thought the cinematography was held up. Myself.
Uh oh. You sounded like you were on some of those hormones just now.
What? Oh, sorry about that. I'm in trouble with that. Okay. Oh. Speaking of guest appearance, did you catch Linnea Quigley's guest appearance?
No.
Linnea. This is one of two films Linnea Quigley was in. I believe, I forget the other one. It might have been Graduation Day. I forget. But she was in it. She took the place of the actress that's on the table getting the massage.
Okay.
Because she didn't want to do a full nudity. So that whenever you see the body there with the ass in the air, that's Linnea Quigley's ass.
Oh, no wonder why I got to see a little more than I was expecting.
Yeah, no, that wasn't the real actress. They cut her in for that scene. She didn't want it. She felt uncomfortable. Linnea was like, no, I'm a pro.
Yeah, gotta love Linnea Quigley, man.
Oh yeah. Again, she's a pro.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. You know, and it's definitely a cast. I mean, you've got Sally Kirkland, you know, Sean Masterson. Actors that have done stuff. I mean, Sally Kirkland's one of the Warhol girls.
Oh right, yeah. No, you're acting.
Yeah,
shit. You're right. Yeah, and she went on to have a pretty good career.
And Coach Drew, the lesbian coach, she would be a Klingon later on in a Star Trek film.
Oh really?
Yeah, I think it's four. I think it's Star Trek four. She plays a Klingon.
Star Trek
4. So she's been in, yeah.
The
question.
Star Trek 4, is that the one with the whales? No, that's 3.
No, 3 is the one with the whales. Five, oh, no, she was in 5, The Final Frontier. Double checked.
Got it.
Yes. So, you know, there's people in here that they all were starting out their careers making this film in a well known California high school. You know, go Falcons. I think it would have been better if there. The fact that they're killing everybody with a javelin, just call the film Javelin.
Yeah, there's...
El Javelino.
Well, didn't somebody call it Javelin or something like that? Hold on,
let me see. The only titles I heard were...
There's 15 alternate titles. Killer. The ones I know about... In Germany, it was Killerspiel.
Yeah, because the ones that it was filmed under the title "The Killing Touch," and at one point it was released as "Olympic Nightmare."
Right. Yeah, no. Nobody has an alternate title with Javelin in it at all. Seems like a lost opportunity.
Yeah, and the scene with the Javelin thrower underwater is almost like an SNL skit. It is so bizarre. Yeah, I'm just gets in the water. I don't know. And the one shot where you see it the first time you see it with kill number two, you see the silhouette of the killer holding the Javelin.
Right.
And they have oven mitts on.
So you don't see their hands because she.
Yeah. I was like,
you know, she has her nails done. So
this is the clumsiest murder weapon we've chosen. You're wearing oven mitts. You're carrying a Javelin around. How are you getting that thing around corners?
Just trying to prove a point.
I guess she's got a point.
I'm gonna win. Gonna win.
Yeah. So I mean, it's the film's not cheesy enough to be good. Right. And when you complained about the scenes of them doing Olympic stuff, doing gymnastics and swimming.
It's a sports film. You got to do it, but let's not get so repetitive.
I'll take that over the scenes of people wandering around the dark hallways of the high school for 15 minutes.
That's what I was saying earlier, too. It's just like you could probably cut this down to a 20 to 30 minute movie just from
walking wandering around
everywhere. Just
if
it's not, I would have taken action at all. I think that's what they were trying to do, but it wasn't working.
How about half an hour of plot development and line them all up in a row and just hit them all with the Javelin at once?
Sure.
Cut the film down to a half an hour. When I'm watching this after the second Javelin kill, I'm like, you know, this movie has to be referenced to Pandemonium. Pandemonium has to be a reference to this. Because you remember the movie Pandemonium, 80, 81?
I don't.
The goofy Smothers brother, he plays a Canadian Mountie, and there's a cheerleader school. That has like gruesome deaths and everything.
I don't think I know this.
I would challenge that to you. Either that or Graduation Day if we do a challenge, because that is, I still love that as a parody movie. But the opening scene is six cheerleaders killed with a Javelin, like all in a row. And I was like, that had to have been a parody of this. But then I looked it up and it actually came out like 2 or 3 years before this.
Huh.
Yeah. So
I'd have to check that out. I don't know it.
They possibly could have gotten the idea of the Javelin killer from a parody movie of slasher films, which I think is funny in itself. Hmm. I'm trying to see if there's anything I forgot. Got to take it all the way I can. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I got a page of notes here just because it was bugging me a bit. Yeah, I love that 80s rock ballad theme song. Every 80s film has to have one.
Yeah, and the opening of the film took, I think the movie actually didn't start for about 3 to 4 minutes. I mean, because it's just, you're watching all titles, you're watching them just doing exercises and practicing routines and all that. And that's how the whole film opens. And I want to say it's anywhere from 3 to 5 minutes long.
Yeah, but again, every scene in this film is 3 to 5 minutes long. That's the problem.
Yeah,
it's stretched out, and there's only what, five killings total?
Five.
Third, fourth.
Six, maybe.
Fifth kill. Six. Yeah, no, five. Frank's the last to go because they.
Well, if you count her.
She,
but yeah, I get what you mean.
No, you can't count the killer. You can't count the killer and the body count. Even though they died. So, I mean, the killer killed five people.
Yep. Stuffed them in lockers.
Don't forget, you have that one where they faked out an attack where Annie had stomach cramps from the steroids.
Right.
So you're all set up for a kill. It's like, oh, no kill. And then we got to spit through 5 minutes of my mother could make it. It's why I fell asleep during my first viewing of the film, because it just has this long drawn out sections where they're going over you figure out halfway through none of this matters about anything, nothing about Annie's grades matters. yet I gotta listen to this heartfelt discussion they're having about her, you know, whether it's going to be her gymnastics career or her education. It's like, none of it matters. This javelin man is around the corner.
Right.
It,
yeah.
You know, it doesn't, like, if you look at like a classic, like Scream, like any kind of storyline going on is part of the plot, is either meant to be a MacGuffin or a red herring or whatever you want to call it, or to actually leave a clue. You know, so, I mean, there's so much, but everything's designed to tell, you know, to lend credence to a theory or something. None of that's in the screenplay for this. It's just people chattering about the Olympics in between deaths.
It never made me long for a movie like Gymkhana. Just.
Yeah, right?
Like, yeah.
Now I'm curious to go back and watch Graduation Day, since the films are too comparative occasionally. And because Linnea Quigley's in that one, too, I think, for...
Uh-huh.
As a body double.
Is Graduation Day in The Wheel of Suck by any chance?
I added it. It's on the latest version. Oh, yes, I updated that this week.
Well, I updated the wheel, so.
Oh, good. I am interested in what's going to happen with that. So do you want to rate this? Because I got to tell you, I'm not going to go very high.
4.
Wow, that took long. All right. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Yeah.
Well, if you weren't, I was going to talk some sense into you.
Yeah, it's definitely below a 5-star. Yeah, four, I mean, four thumbs up nicely.
4.7 on IMDb, and it's a little nostalgia playing there, I think. I think some people are giving it higher scores than it probably deserves. 4 is very appropriate for this.
If the screenplay had more substance to it, or... was more like the opening scene where they all get into a tug of war with the napkin.
Oh, right. Yeah.
When that happened, I was like, oh, okay, this is going to be like Police Academy, but with deaths. I thought they were going to lean on the comic angle. No, it was just they were aiming for like straight school drama after that part. I was like, that was like the worst setup for like what happened after. Well, it was all bland after that.
Yeah. And like when he's he's like, you know, and the athletes and, the best in the world and the most blah blah blah, and then they start doing that, and then you're right, it was like, okay we might have a little tongue-in-cheek comedy type stuff, and no, none of it.
No, they set it up for that Porky style humor in the opening scene, and everything after it is just the worst you get is Phil trying to get laid.
Yeah.
Lengthy scenes.
Have you seen my shorts?
That was Frank. See, that's the problem.
Fuck.
I'm telling you. That's why I had to go back a third time, man. There's no way. They should have had the names on the photo when they showed them, just so you had like a quick refresher to go back to.
You know.
Yeah. Usually you have that. I went back. Like I told, Nancy's name's mentioned once before she dies. Sue's name is mentioned once right before she dies.
Jesus.
Frank's not mentioned until the third act, I'm pretty sure. Phil was never addressed directly, but I figured out who Phil was by who was Annie's boyfriend was.
Right. Oh man!
So that's how I figured that out. And Annie, I knew because IMDb and Wikipedia put Annie as the lead character. So so I cheated with Annie. But I mean, because the problem is there's nothing that really has you wanting to understand their names because their storylines aren't even that interesting.
Right.
They took the time to give them background and storylines, but nothing interesting and nothing conducive to the plot. So the film's more boring than anything, with a few glimmering highlights that I would like fast forward to show somebody. So, oh, like, wait till you see them underwater. You got to see this. You know, but not sitting through this whole thing for that.
Right. Should we spin the wheel? Four.
Yeah, I got it down. I locked it in at 4 stars on Perfect. IMDb. We're good there. I'm ready for the wheel, sir. What do we got?
All right. Wow. It just looks like Hollywood threw up on this board. Have you gone back to look at the video so you can see what this looks like?
Oh, yeah. I check up.
It's pretty bad. All right. This is the Wheel of Suck. The way this works is both Scott and I get a veto. We spin. Someone can veto it. Spin again. Then someone else can veto it. And then by the third spin, we pretty much have to review what's on there. So, are you ready?
I'm braced.
All right. Let's do it.
I'm puckered.
Here we go.
We'll be right back.
Uh-oh.
Rabid Grannies?
Rabid Grannies! Yes!
What the fuck is that?
80s direct-to-video horror film, if I'm not mistaken.
I gotta look this up real quick. Holy shit. Rabid Grannies.
I believe I read about it in Toxic Horrors or Slaughterhouse, one of those horror magazines from the 80s and 90s.
Oh my fucking God.
It might be 90s. I might be wrong. I might be overshooting it. It might be a 90s film.
This is Lloyd Kaufman. This is a trauma film?
Oh.
Oh my God. Is it a trauma film? It is a trauma movie.
Oh, okay.
Holy shit.
88. All right.
1988. So this is just a short time after Toxic Avenger.
Yeah, so before trauma was like a huge name, it was just starting.
Yeah, I mean, the quality of this looks like Toxic Avenger. It's that similar
style.
Oh boy. Yeah, all right.
Definitely scraping the bottom of the barrel with this one.
I'm not going to veto this. I'm good with this. Are you good with it?
Yeah, I'm good with Rabbit Grannies. I put it on the list, so I'd definitely go with this one.
Okay. All right. Then Rabid Grannies it is. Oh, oh boy. It's going to be a fucking doozy. Oh, man. Rabid Grannies. All right. All right. All right. Rabid Grannies.
Oh, Holly's going to love this one.
Rabid Grannies?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. All right, let me get us out of here, man. All right, everybody. This was a good episode. I like this one, nice and short, but to the point. We got to what we needed to do.
And we did it. Cuz we get it, no, you got to give it all you got to give. Yeah.
Yeah. Episode 449 of Movie Sucktastic. Thank you as always for joining us for yet another week. Where we just reviewed Fatal Games or Les Deux Mortes.
Winning isn't everything. Winning is the only thing. Sorry.
Go to our website at moviesucktastic.com. Download every episode that we have there. You can listen to every episode on the website as well. Or you can click on the YouTube link and it will take you to YouTube where you can watch this video that we just did live. You can go to iTunes and you can listen to the show there as well. You can go to facebook.com/moviesucktastic and you can see everything that we post. It goes there. You can also go to Scott's Letterboxd site, letterboxd.com/moviesucktastic. You can leave his email at themovieguys@moviesucktastic.com. If you want to leave us voicemail, it's 908-514-4470. And if you want to download the podcast app for Movie Sucktastic, it's moviesucktastic.com/mst.apk, or to make your life even easier, just download your favorite podcast player and do a search for Movie Sucktastic and just add us that way. You can also do a search for Movie Sucktastic and so much stuff comes up. We're literally everywhere. We are now on Spotify, which is a big deal. We're on Amazon, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, obviously iTunes, and you can go right to our website as well. Do you have any words of wisdom, Mr. Wilson?
Better give it all you gotta give, yeah.
I'm afraid Scott probably put this in his playlist. I think he's listening more than he's watched. All right, everybody.
Oh, I got my...
We'll talk to you next time when we review Rabbit Grannies.
No, I'm looking forward to it.
All right, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.